I hear it told on the border side that some men walk and some men ride, and some men fly and some men stay, but a Dacre never runs away.
The Candlemas Road by George MacDonald Fraser, with Lawrence Payne as Fray Luis, Ruth Gemmell as Lady Margaret Dacre, and Bill Reitman as Archie Noble. The Candlemas Road.
I, Luis Guevara, once a priest and ever a sinner, was born in Portugal and came to England by a long road which it would weary you as much to hear as me to travel. It took me to the Americas and to the coasts of Barbary and Lower Africa, and at last to London, where chance put me in the way of Ralph, Lord Dacre, a great noble favoured of the Queen, carrying all the trappings of soldiery and wealth and power, for he was a terrible man, and I, the little foreign priest, that feared for my very life in that land where priests were welcome as the plague. There were many then burned for the faith.
A poor candle you would make. Why, man, you would not light me up the stair. Aye, but you can say mass. And I cannot nor would not, but since half my tenants are recusants and will not be turned, needs must I a priest go to.
But if you give me employ, my lord, 'tis treason. You will be liable before the law?
Pish on the law! I live in Cumberland Priest on the wild brink of England, where I make my own law. And if I take the Pope himself into my house to minister to my silly poor folk, not the Queen's grace herself shall say cheap. For I am Dacre, and have done her such service against Scotch invaders and English rebels that I may do as I please in my barony. Will 50 shilling a year content you?
Lord, I tremble to hear you. 16 shillings and the chapel decently kept.
Done! We shall do well! Being not afraid to speak our minds one to the other. But not of your Roman faith, for I'll none of it. Keep it for my vassals.
Now, my lord was at London only to put his grandchild into the court, as ward to Her Majesty, a sweet, pretty little maid of 4 years, proper and toward, and proud of her kerchief of French point.
See my kerchief? 'Tis white, and I keep it clean. You are my granddad, Italian man, but you must not stare at me.
To her, all Catholics were Italians. And so my lord took me north to his estate of Askerton, hard by the borderline. Now, I have been about the world and know its most barbarous, uncivil people, but I have yet to see such savages as were in the marches of England and Scotland then. Two-legged beasts who lived by robbery and murder and terror in a land accursed, where reprisal followed raid by the clock. And every night brought its toll of men butchered and dwellings burned and cattle carried away. And this was no war. It was, they said, the custom of the country. But my lord throve on it as it were sport.
For I am Dacre. Shift me if ye can.
And being a skilly soldier, he gave the thieves, both Scot and English, so much better than he took that in his later years we had quiet about Askerton, though the rest of the frontier corrupted by the day. For if the meanest of his tenants was spoiled of so much as a hen, out of Askerton gate would come the Red Bull banner and my old lord Lance on thigh with 50 riders at his back, and there would be widows crying for their men on the Askerton gallows. So for 17 years I dwelt in Askerton, doing my duty with a failing heart, and knowing that dripping on my soul that wears away faith more even than I had known in the pagan places. And then my lord died and was buried at Askerton. And now we lived on tiptoe, wondering when the thieves would ride on our goodly lands and livestock, now that the Red Bull was no more. For his armed following were dispersed, and we were a household reduced, myself and Bailiff Hodgson, an honest man, but of no quick understanding, and a few serving men, but no security for the farms and tenants. So we lived in fear through the winter, until word came at Christmas that my Lady Dacre, she that was granddaughter to old Lord Ralph, as I told you I met her when a little maid, was to come up to us from London, she being heiress to all his great wealth and estates. And Candlemas was the day pricked for her coming in.
What's he?
No sign of her ladyship's coach yet.
No, father. Well, Tom's up the hill. He'll spy coming in good time.
I marvel that she comes at all, poor child, so far from London and all comfort and a good living and civil speech. Welcome, my lady, to this draughty, dirty barn of a house and the company of animals and Cumbrians. If she tarries longer than to change her shoe, I'll be the more amazed.
She'll be content, father. Never fear. She's a dear crown of Cumberland, lass. Landlady might be used to call, and what he boy she called me. I put her on the first pony. Aye, and when she fell in the beck and cam yam blubbering, I gave her sugar plums and dandelion cordial. Aye, a grand lass.
Yeah, who has been 17 years at court? 4 of them as maid in waiting to the queen. She will have changed, Watty. She will not fall in streams or drink dandelion these days. Your little playmate is a great lady now.
She was a great lady when she was 4 years old and put vinegar in her granddad's beard. We's pissed in this pot, cries he. And the wee lass sups some milk and cries, and we's pissed in this pot, you know. Hey, me lord laughed till he cried. Aye, a grand lass.
And with grand notions of comfort, no doubt. So take out these mouldy rushes, eh? And build a good fire with dry logs from the cellar and bit the wenches scour and polish.
Dear father, I can't go to this hall. The bailiffs leave. Hmm? They have a prisoner there, the broken man.
Prisoner? Broken man? What's he?
Oh, a vagrant wandering fella. Archie Noble. They call him the waiterabout because that's all he does. Oh, a grunt caught him last night pilfering bread and cheese for the kitchen. So Master Hutchin says to hold him to the warden's bed, can take him to Carlisle and hang him up for a thief.
For stealing bread and cheese?
Aye. And for an horse, you reckon he lifted? He found it out by this morning. A bonny red mare with a Spanish saddle and silver snaffle. Master Hutchin reckons that a drawlatch like Archie Noble nib came on us by a sick beast as that. Aye, well, he can chatter his Latin to the warden's men and see how well it serves him.
Latin? A broken man? A vagrant who speaks Latin?
Oh, aye. He's dapped as a badger, is Archie waitabout. They say he was a likely lad, once. A clerk and a grand sodger. But he's nowt at all these days. Scratching for a living with his breeches arse hanging out. And stealing our bread.
What is? What is? Where are the understand, got
to? Oh, Jesus, the bailiff!
What is? What the plague you standing there for? Is that a fire? Will you clean my lady out the house? Get logs, man! See what that place is like a mitten. Oot! You're not ready!
Master Hutt, who is this prisoner, this broken man?
Aye, father, never plague me about a petty villain that's dug, and will soon be less. A mere thicker than that sneak-bait money hammer. Aye, my lady night here, and that scotch razor dust in the fire mill, and divil a bag of lavender to put between the seats and be prayed for me with.
Jeez, good bailiff, what's the matter?
Matter? It's morning, father. Comes George Belfry fireman with his head broken, his shirt bloody, the tail of war with 5 stout Scotch thieves, Nixon's in Liddersdale, the company's village last night, and beat them and put his fork in fear because they said he hadn't paid his blackmail.
Blackmail?
Aye, blackmail. Black rent protection money. The Nixon say if he does not pay, they'll come this night and burn his village and carry him and his cattle into Scotland.
Blackmail is a crime. To take or to pay. Our tenants never paid it.
Not when their own lord was alive, no. Ain't a whipped and Nixon's arse for here to hex him. But he's 6 feet deep now, father.
So these Nixon foxes come prowling to squeeze their black tribute for the bells that fire made. Johnny Bell, sheep that he's comes calling to me for protection.
But the land sergeant will protect him, surely.
Land sergeant? Tom Carton. They say he's in the pocket of every reaver, England and Scotland both. He'll never offend stark raiders like the Nixons. It's our politics, then. So Bell, a lousy sneak, will come blubbering to me that he'll be no fun of it when I kick his backside. He cries that he'll bear plate to my lady when she comes, but she's his landlord now and bound to see him safe.
Oh, the poor lady to come from court into this land of blood and decay. Will she believe such folk as the Nixons can be?
Well, she'll find out fast enough. For look, Stefan, if this threat of the Nixons goes unanswered, we shall have such rage written on us. So Linda's deal and Tyne deal and the outlaw banders, we've not seen this tell
you. Nay, bailiff, that warden Lord Scroope will take order.
When? Next week? Next month? But who'll guard three of men this week when the Nixons ride? Damn Geordie Bell. Could he not have paid his blackmail so all would have been quiet?
Yes, hello!
I know what. By God. Speaking of them, it's Carton and that Jack Slipper deputy Anton Yarra. What brings them to ask you to dress like Mayday cuddies? Oh, to make the bows to my lady. Aye, but a word of their courtesy won't run the length of time. See now, father, what help we'll have when the Queen's officers. Good day to you, lad, sir.
And to you, Bailey. Ah, Father Lewis. God send you find the cares of the church less than I find those of the state.
My cares are less, so yet they last longer, for they go beyond the grave.
Well, if you follow them so far on this border, you'll have hot work of it.
No matter, sir. Papist priests are used to the fire these days.
I need not you to cap my jest, Yarrow. Your pardon, Fray Lewis. So, gentles, is my lady expected soon? It is not every day a dacre comes home, and it befits us all to welcome her and offer what service we may.
Oh, that is good hearing, sir, for your service is like to be needed. Is it not, Master Hodgson?
Why, this is an ill business, it. Try him in, Land Sergeant. The bells, and Nixon's blackmail.
Well, I've heard something of this, sir. Plucker and a corer, and nothing matter. George Bell's a malcontent earwig. If he has a complaint against the Nixons, let him take it to the wardens for redress. And if that flights him not, let him pay his blackmail or face the Nixon sword in hand.
Strange advice from a March officer. Is it not your duty to defend...
My duty, Sir Priest, is to defend Gilsland, of which I am land sergeant. Tryermaine is on Askerton land, but lies not in my charge. But I've heard from your grooms, Master Hodgson, that you have some runagate bound in your cellar for a matter of theft.
Yeah, to be sure, of bread and chips.
I had to do it.
Ah, so. So, wait about him noble. Petty trafficker and broken man. I've had my hand near his neck this 5 year, and there is suspicion of a horse stolen, they tell me. It should be looked to. And there may be others. We have small offences about Gilson that await answer. He's been about there. He may fit.
Almost, I hear you say he will fit.
And if he fits a halter, Father Lewis, it will be of his deserving. We know such sturdy rogues that will neither work nor want, so shall my deputy Yarrow bear him to Carlisle.
And there he can be borne higher yet.
For bread and cheese and suspicion? But he is a poor broken man of no account, unlike these Nixon thieves, who have powerful protectors in Scotland that must not be offended. So they may blackmail and burn unhindered while this waitabout hangs for a crust. God help my lady in her inheritance.
Priest, you talk too much. Oh, get your prayers and anthems.
Father Lewis! Father Lewis! The coach is coming! She's here, Father Lewis! Lady Margaret!
Yes, what did we hear? Your little Lady Margaret's come home again, but what is... The fire is almost out.
God, Jesus! Oh, thanks so much!
A Jager!
A rainbow! Oh, yes, it is! By God! All our lassies will gape at yon gown, will they not? Aye, kind of lass, eh? Aye, she's a spit out, Lord Ralph. Vile as Beardley. You see the silly young Jim, proud be them. Well, she's a digger and a body. Will you set for the touch? Devil, damn him, it's Jordan Bell. Oh, this still be stopping out of his government about the mixings and lying about me and the man.
Jesus, man. She is coming. Master Carter, Master Yarrow, shall we stand so? Welcome, my lady. Welcome.
He's a monster, thank you. Book it.
Thrice welcome home.
Which of you is my bailiff, Hodgkin?
I'm the lady. My name is Hodgkin.
And will you tell me what care you take of my tenants when I find myself beset on the road by a poor clown with a bloodied head, got of Scotch robbers, that came to you for help, whereupon you drove him forth with kicks? Well, sirrah, I or no?
Aye. No, madam, but...
I know, madam, but it is very well. We shall talk anon, Hodgson, or Hodgkin, when you've done shuffling and got your tongue. Well, your lords will not get up for themselves, fellow. Gather them up, boy, to it. Oh, where's my maid? Susan! Wine and water and marchpane, and bid Master Lightfoot into me. See that this lout mends the fire without setting the house alight, and bid the grooms look to the horses for Atlas limps of the right forefoot. Try again, boy. And if you drop him on Hodgkin's toes, it skills not, he shall skip high enough presently. I know, madam, but forsooth. Has this place been aired in a 12-month? Or put some sweet herbs on the fire. We had as well been in a stable. Sirs, if I seem to take your welcome amiss, I am in a rare fury to see a poor man hurt and a fat rogue blinking that gives no remedy. It makes me mad. Well, kick him before you like a football, fellow. Now, sir, you by your habit should be my grandsire's papist priest. I will not call you father, but I thank you for your courtesy. You may make these gentlemen known to me.
Why, surely, my lady. Here is Master Carlton, the land sergeant.
Her Majesty's servant and yours, my lady. Your grandsire was my good friend, a worthy knight.
Master Deputy Yarrow, my lady.
Your ladyship's servant.
So Master Carlton made his stately bow, and young Yarrow preened himself, and poor Hodgson shuffled under her regard, for though she was of a mould to beguile Solomon himself, with eyes of darkest blue and hair white shining gold like an infant's, yet her wonted mien was cold and very proud. Her maid Susan gave refreshment to all there, and to Master Lightfoot, her man of affairs, a portly, sleek, flat cap with a wealth of words, of which we had surfeit when she put to him the matter of the bell's blackmail.
And you dare tell me that tenants of mine may be harassed by thieves to their hurt and ruin, and pay criminal rent to these leeches, and no help at law or any way? Well, Lightfoot?
Indeed, madam, 'tis a hateful and unlawful thing, yet our poor folk won't you pay to be let alone.
'Tis the custom of the country, madam, and no great matter.
And if my lady will but hear me...
Oh, peace, rogue, you kicked him black and blue. Go shuffle again.
Madam, under correction, here is greater due for a snivelling arrant fellow to have brought the mischief upon himself.
God's name, sir, are people of mine enthralled to Scotch robbers? And do you, a Queen's officer, tell me 'tis no concern of yours?
It lies without my charge. I did not invent blackmail, lady, or the sorry state of the world.
In truth, my lady, the land sergeant hath the right of it. It is matter for the wardens, who must give redress in time, for truly there is much ill and much wrong on the border, which must be looked to, much labour to perfect.
Oh, hold your tongue. Hodgson, bring me in the creature bell. Oh, Susan, this chair likes me not. I'd better be on the rack. No, let it be. The others look no better. God help us when we come to bedtime, for I doubt not they used to sleep in the stocks or the strapado hereabouts. What a mouldy cave is this? Why, for dust, my barn at Black Heat is cleaner. Ah, Master Bell, how is with you?
Poorly, good lady, but poorly. I'm not young. Can I take these knocks? Please, my lady.
Well, these gentlemen have heard your ill usage, and the wardens will see justice done on these fell Nixons.
Justice? I look not for justice, but security. Oh, my lady, it is not what they've done, but what they'll do yet. They have sworn to ride on me again, and my folk and will poor beast I this night. They'll take a word on because I can't appear with tribute.
What, this night? Master Land Sergeant, have you no watches or troopers, or is this the never side of Russia that a man's life and goods may be torn away?
I have said, madam, it is not in my charge. And if I wrote to every hamlet that fears a raid of the Scots, I would never be done. It behoves men to pay, or fend for themselves.
Oh, lady, ill will house your house!
Look at the sorry snail. Can he fend for himself, or anything? Or do you mean that I, his landlord, must take the field and fight because your law cannot or will not? By God, sir, the Queen shall know of this.
Madam, she knows already.
Master Carlton, you cannot aid me with your office, it seems. Yet you were my grandsire's comrade and had the name of a stout gentleman. Will you not aid me as a friend in my sore need? I ask not the land sergeant, but your own self, sir.
And now I saw Tom Carlton as near out of countenance as ever I saw, for he was a proud man and valiant. But I believe he weighed in his mind what mischief might follow if he fronted the Nixons and answered out of policy.
Madam, would to God I could, but I may not exceed my...
Master Yarrow, will you help me?
Madam, I...
Master Bell.
Really?
I am but lately come and all at sea. But this I tell you, you shall have security of me, your liege lord. So go now to your village, and none shall harm you.
Oh, bless you, my lady.
Master Carlton, Master Yarrow, we thank you for your welcome, and bid good day to you. Susan, see that my bed is ready. I shall rest a while. First, I would have a word with you, Hodgson.
My lady, I have some small business with the Lance Sergeant of any parts.
If it is business that requires him to do his duty, I give you joy of it. Stay, though. Is it business of mine?
A small thing, madam. A loose fellow who was taken stealing from your kitchen. We shall carry him to justice at Carlisle.
Well, a moment, sir. If he stole from my house, I shall see to him. This is my place, is it not? Where I am Lady Lord. It behoves us, you know, to fend for ourselves in the border country.
Madam, he is under suspicion for a stolen horse also.
But he lies not in your charge, sir. We would not burden you.
This is matter for the law, madam.
Indeed, and I am law in my own lordship, am I not, Master Lightfoot?
Oh, aye, my lady, but...
No, my lady, but we shall see to this rogue, and if his offence is that he stole a pat of butter...
Hello, my lady, I'm a cheat.
Well, God's death! Should he not go to the warden? We must look to this, indeed.
Madam, this is peevish talk.
Bailiff, instruct the land sergeant that the Lady Margaret Dacre is not scolded by common men.
Good day, madam.
Land sergeant, Master Carlton, a moment, sir.
Why so glum, Sir Priest? Is it to see me so unwomanly?
That is not for me to say, my lady.
Well, nay. He is a meek priest. The folded hands, the downcast eyes. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall move pity.
You may mock me in safety, lady. But you mock God at your soul's peril.
Reproof. But there is some spirit in you. Come, I've had enough of long faces. Let us go out. See? They're burning the Christmas babe in the yard. Let's out to them.
Ah, there's Christmas, Wolf. Come in the bay and said to my men, where are they?
No!
Come on, Adam.
So this is your bonfire for Candlemas. Mind, wenches, that this is the feast for purification of virgins, so let those that have maidenheads put on your modest faces. For those who laugh, I am sure, have none and must be handbacked to presently.
Nay, but your ladyship's laughing. What should we make of this?
Oh, if I put off the paint on my face, you may see that I blush as well as any maid of you, though never as red as Moll Beatty behind.
Never!
Moll Beatty I knew in my childhood here. She had a great red birthmark on her buttock. Why, there she is. Well, come hither, Moll. Let me see thy face. Nay, thy backside shall keep for another day.
My sweet lady, grown so grand and bonny. Heaven bless thee, lady.
I shall know all of you presently. Aye, and the little ones, too. Susan, give sweetmeats to all the bantlings that they may toast my return. The date is last, the guard away is full yam again. Read long rod, no. Nay, I have my country speech as well as any of you.
Bless your ladyship, hey, roast the lady march.
Look to you, lady,
bless thy bonny head.
Hey, let's ball,
oh, my lady, you have given them such comfort. They love you.
I put them in the hollow of my hand. Now, tell me, priest, of your spiritual and worldly wisdom, what am I to do for that fellow we had crouching here, the man Bell? How shall I keep my pledge made in anger before that cheese-slip lands?
In truth, lady, spiritual and worldly counsel are all one. You can only pray.
For God's like, why, he is a parrot screech after the style of those gallant gentlemen. No protection and nothing to be done. In God's name, man, is this Arabia?
Something worse, Lizzie. The gentlemen are not as craven and cruel as they seem. The first rule in the border is that all must look to their own safety, which you can hardly do, having no tenants fit to fight. In time, you may hire a troop of proven fellows mercenary, but that cannot be for tonight when Bell must pay his black bear or be ridden over by thieves.
Jeez. How much is this blackmail?
£5, or thereabouts.
£5?
Aye.
Why, what's that to me? Or 50 to keep him whole? Good lad, he shall have the money for these caterpillars, and go scot-free for me. Aye, scot-free both ways.
Never, lady. Pay, and you shall be ridden on, and your riches extorted by every reaver from Gretna to Berwick. What, Lady Dacre pay blackmail? Nay, some things are possible, but not that.
Oh, I thwarted at every turn. Christ! What nest of vipers is this that the wolves may tear the sheep, and it must happen well a day and be damned? And what the devil brings you, fellow?
Lord, for the fire. And please, your ladyship?
Well, you're sturdy enough, boy. Can you fight?
Fight, lady?
Aye, with a sword against these ravagers, these Nixons.
Lady, I don't know. I have no skill in swords.
Sweet Saviour, no. No, your skill is to put out the fire.
Please, your lady. Shout at the broken man. He's there.
Broken man? What's he?
The fellow your ladyship denied to Master Carlton.
Well, since my great need is beyond your counsel, guide me in this nothing matter. What's to do with him?
Lady, from what I hear, he is a harmless fellow. Enough, but if he comes to Carlisle, I think he may suffer for more than he has ever done, being but a broken man, that is, an outcast, having no master or friends.
Well, give him his dinner, and tell the bailiff to whip him and let him go. What, priest? You shake your head.
Will you not hear him in his own behalf, lady? It may excuse him the whipping.
I could whip half the parish. Oh, very well. When I have dined, I'll see him. If I be not poisoned by what passes for cookery in this pest hole. Susan, bid the maids bring in. Why my grandsire ever set stob or stake in this godless place, set at the south, where there are no broken men, no Nixons, nor a
flip... Master Hudson. Ah, Master Hudson. Is this waiter-bite fellow fit to be seen by her ladyship? What manner of man is he?
He's straight and well enough, but he's clean. For now he looks as though a sheep is shitting him.
She will not thank you for showing her a draggled fellow all bemired and filthy. Give him water to wash. Aye,
and a razor to his face may save him a lash to his back. Now see to it, and bring him presently, when she has dined.
Where did they heap this broth on Mary's name, on an ice stone?
I'll get the whip ready, shall I?
And indeed I doubted that my good intentions would be vain in the end. For her dinner being by, my lady purposed to go a-riding, but was balked by Hodson bringing up the broken man. She was ill-pleased and said there was no peace to be had, and strode within like an angry trooper, pulling off her cap and gloves.
Bring in this crust-picker.
So now I had my first sight of this Archie-noble, the waitabout, and sorry he was in his ragged breeches and cracked boots and no shirt but a sleeveless jack of leather. Yet he was of good stature, more than 2 yards tall, perhaps inclining to 40 years, fair of head and long in the jaw, but not uncomely, for his eye was bright blue, and of that seeming candour that oft conceals more than if his lids were closed. My lady looked curiously on him, to see one so outlandish and beggarly that cast not down his eyes before her, for these borderers give eye for eye with any whatsoever their quality. And I would take oath that in that moment there was betwixt them a sort of knowing of each other, such as happens rarely between two at first glance, though they be as far apart as the poles.
What's thy name, pantry pirate?
Noble, my noble lady. A simple noble, yet noble, noble lady.
Is this man mad?
Not mad, but impotent. Needle to her, lady, you see.
You'll strike when I bid you, bailiff. Well, you have plundered my kitchen, knave, and yet you give pert answers and smile and look me in the eye.
Why, lady, you are my judge, so where else should I look? And if I looked elsewhere, you'd take it as a poor compliment. If I smile, it's in the hope of winning your good opinion.
Well, shalt not win it by insolence. Look you, Master Larder Poacher, if you value your back skin, study to please me, for I am most infernally vexed and inclined to send any humble, insolent rascal that robbed my larder to the whipping post.
By your leave, lady, I stole not. Your varlets catch me, or ever I might say grace, which illustrates quam prope ad crimen sine crimine. How close a man may come to guilt without being guilty.
Safest, where did you get Latin?
From Father Gilpin at Tyndale, whom they called the gallows priest, for that he shrived most of the gibbet foot. His acolyte I was, would have been a priest myself, aye, but,
But what, knave?
Why, in truth, I stole him communion wine. Out of Scotch Abbey's, was ta'en in the lifting of it. Aye, I lifted me more than your bailiff could sup in a 12-month. And nay, lady, if you doubt my former priestliness, you may see its tokens in my present condition, poverty and humility.
And what a chastity. Art chaste, rogue?
The length of the border, lady, from Annan to Alec. Have I pleased you, lady?
Well, enough for bread and cheese. Let him go, bailiff, with sixpence for his sauciness.
Nay, but, Melody, Melody, there's yet the matter of the horse he rode hither on and lightly stole. How did he come by it?
It's all one to me if he stole York Minster. Oh, you'd better answer, Philip, for the satisfaction of the land sergeant.
Lady, the horse is me own, but having no proof nor paper thereto, I'd liefer not answer for it at Carlisle, where they want to hang crew of men upon suspicion only.
Well, then swear your innocence to me. That will serve. Well, speak, man. What, do you hesitate? Nay, now you shall answer me, or to Carlisle straight. Whence had you the horse?
From one Dodd Pringle on the Scotch side, 2 nights since.
That Dodd Pringle? That villain? No. Why should he give thee a horse?
Oh, God help us. He was pursued out of England by warden men, and chancing on me where I lay bedded in the bracken, and being out of his wits with the pursuit, and knowing himself for a murderer, and worse, why, he came raging at me with his lance. Oh, lady, I must needs defend myself. I meant him no harm. I was as careful as might be.
And you killed him?
Alas, no malice. struck as gently as I might, lady.
It's the black dog! Yon Scotch gunner's bait! No, he's the best new this 12 months. What matters with the service? Pringle, my lady, was a big filthy fella and a man killer, an overdue damnation from his cradle. He did say, my friends. Why, what ails you, man? The land sergeant will bless you for this.
I doubt if my lady will. Truly, madam, I've been honest with you.
This passes for honesty. I ask a fellow how he came by a horse, and he says, fine, madam, it is a nothing matter. I had it by cutting a throat on Monday night. Am I run mad, or is this bedlam? Oh, but I forget, this is Cumberland, where a man may talk of murder as though it is no more than rifling a jam pot. My priest crosseth himself well a day, and my bailiff's great guts quiver with admiration.
Nay, lady, think on. At worst, it's but a manslaughter.
Madam, much as I abhor the act, as the border judges these things, it is, alas, common enough, and as they say, the custom of the country.
Jeez. And I forbore to whip him for bread and cheese, and would have dealt kindly with a poor, harmless maid that stood here smiling and beguiling and jesting of little faults. And now, on his own confession, I find his bloody as Cain.
Nay.
You excuse it. That shuffling thing applauds it. Oh, aye, since 'twas a Scotch throat cut, what's to matter? Well, this is beyond me. Let him to Carlisle, where, as the border judges, they may knight him for his butchery, or hang him up for it, or for the horse, or for lacking a patch for his breeches arse, for that, like enough, will be the custom of the country.
Oh, no, madame. A bailiff, pluck her hat from the fire. I know that for one gently nurtured and coming to a cruel country, it is hard for you to understand.
I understand the Barbary rovers better. Get him hence! And if the land sergeant's justice bears as hard on him as it doth on other slayers and flayers, these Nixons, he had little enough to fear. God's life! It seems that in these parts none dare harm a thief save another thief! Hello, Peterkin! Settle him!
Lady? Madam, what's your will? Was she to saddle a mare, or?
No, Peterkin, I'll not ride today. Bailiff, bring back that fellow. On a second thought, we'll not trouble the land sergeant. Sure, we must relieve him of this paltry knave and take him in our charge. Bailiff, what trees stand about this house?
Many fair trees, and please, my lady. Ash and Justine, an oak and elm beyond the Vatican.
Lady, what do you intend?
Oak will serve. Twill hang a rogue as well as any other, tis. A sturdy tree, and most English. You are English, are you not, Sir Murderer? But if the Chestine likes you better, why, it is all one.
No, you cannot hang out of hand without trying.
If you open your mouth to me, I shall have you thrashed out of bounds. By God, I will. I am lord in my own manor, with right of pit and gallows. Keep your prayers for Master Waitabout, if he hath need of them, which I doubt not. He hath confessed to life taken, a horse stolen, and breaking in. All felonies punishable by death. My duty is plain to see. Bailiff, bid them prepare a rope and a hurdle.
Lady, for your soul's sake, think what you
but
do.
But first, bailiff, tell me, for mine own satisfaction, was this Scotch knave, this Pringle, who died untimely, was he a great thief indeed?
Oh, lady, as dark a rogue as ever fired thatcher. Slew and robbed and carried off there in sight.
I mean not that. Was he a stout man of his hands?
Why, aye. He was all of us. We saw them lads. Don Pringle was a master of any. She bumps Georgie Bird and
well,
just
then to kill him, Robin, was no small thing. Tell me, fellow, how many more have you slain in your time? Gently defending yourself.
Nay, lady. I've opened my mouth o'er wide this day. I'll e'en be silent.
Well, then, fare you well, Master Wakeabout. Hang him up. Susan, fetch me my riding cloak and bid Peterkin saddle the mare. Now, I wish to see the home farm. Some Charlie should have a new bonnet.
Lady, what would you have of me?
That's better. What would I have of you? In a word, yourself. Serve me and you shall live. Deny me, and ye hang.
Lady, for God's name,
How serve you?
Against these Nixons who will raid my tenants at trial main this night.
But a broken man.
A broken man that can fight thieves. So he makes a stand against these Nixons. Do I care if he is buyer or the village idiot?
My lady, will you not take counsel of the land sergeant?
Aye, think on, madam. If you resist these Nixons, God tends what mischief may come of it.
Would you have me leave my folk defenceless before these wolves? Nay, I have been well instructed. On the border we must shift for ourselves. It is the custom of the country.
Aye.
What do you laugh, fellow?
Aye. Oh, lady, a fine choice. Between your gallows and the Nixons, lusty reavers, aye, monstrous men such as you know not of, and I, one poor march rider, would you have me face them alone?
That, or face your maker.
Shh. Bennett, how many Nixons will ride?
It's Ilwill's gang. 5 or 6.
Aye, hungry jock. Clemmy the Clash. After and Geordie. But no Armstrongs?
Yeah, not this road. It is Ilwill's back near.
Aye. Lady, if I say your name, will hang me indeed?
Higher than Haman.
Oh, by God, you have grand size debt and now gain sin. Lady, God willing, I'll keep your village for you. What men have you?
None here, save servant men, but three men only the tenants.
Oh, the bells, you are sheep. Now, lady, if I serve you, will you stand assurance for me to the wardens for any harm done? Answer any complaint against me, and defend me at law if need
be. You make terms with me that can put you to the gallows.
What better time to make terms, lady? It is the custom of the country. So, spit in your palm, lady. Give us your hand.
What? Father Lewis, what does he mean?
It is the way, madame. If you take his hand, you need no other oath.
Oh. Well, Here, fellow.
Is the hand of Archie Noble called Wait About Him till tomorrow sunrise?
Why do you kiss my hand, fellow? Is that part of your oath?
Nay, it is a fair hand, and it does not tremble. Now, lady, if you will make me free of your armory and stables, you need no further care.
There's much to do if I'm to be in trial made by day Goodine. God save you, lady.
Now, I was minded to speak to her, to beg her give over this rash proceeding, but knew not what to say, and as she stood withdrawn by the window, there came the lout Watty, and knelt down by her.
Bloody match. Bloody match. I cannot sword nor fight. What I'll do as a broken man bids me. Serve you, Lady Match.
Her thoughts were elsewhere, and when the clown sought to kiss her hand, she took it away, but gently, and bade him mend the fire. Now, being greatly troubled, I sought the bailiff, who was washing his wits in the buttery, and asked what might we do to turn my lady from her purpose. But I had as well talked to the wind that dries my shirt.
Send to the land sergeant, you say, you can not I. Man, there's not for she set we got. And I know that Dacre look. And if she puts the border in a blaze, it's her affair. God help us all.
So I betook myself to the armory, and found Wait About at work that I saw he knew right well, singing as he tried swords and bows and lances to arm the bells, proving edge and point right soldiers.
Loaded acre never runs away. Ah, I was seen through for that, father. Well, what would you with me?
My son, you go on a perilous road, and I would comfort and confess you, in especial for that Pringle you sue, who had all his sins upon his soul.
Black Jod?
Aye.
He had no more soul than Granny Story's pig. Oh. He was ready for hellfire, that same Pringle, if he believed in hell.
Which I doubt. This unseemly talk. Whatever of Pringle, ye have your own soul to make, and must confess yourself to me.
Not I, father. If I have a soul, I'll make it my own way.
Blasphemer! Why, man, you go into death's shadow, and think on the damnation that awaits you if you die outside God's grace.
Let be. For best we left talk of God, which can only be uncomfortable between us. But say a mass for Pringle and you wish, and I'll pay the shots if we come out of Tryermain alive this night.
We?
Truly, father, I cannot go alone. The bells will never heed a broken man.
unless some better person assure them that I am in my lady's service and must be obeyed. The bailiff all none of the buyer take a fox and can draw him from Askerton this night. So I must lean on the church that is strong and endureth. Will you come to try him in with me, Father Lewis, and speak my lady's command to the bells?
Ah, no, as God sees me, I detest this fell purpose of my lady. Aye, and in truth, I am in terror of the Nixons.
Aye.
Yet needs must I consent, for truth it is. The bells will heed me. And it may be that you can put some stomach into them to make a brave show, so that the Nixons may give over their attempt. How think you?
Why, that's to be seen, Father. But see, though, we go ready for a fray. So get thyself a leather jack and boots, aye, and a steel cap from the table yonder. And you are blessed to have a sword for defence.
Never! If the fray rises, I'll not lift a hand, though I be parted for
aye, that's to be seen also, as you please. Hey, what's with thee, boy?
I've gone with thee. I can stand with thee against the Nixons. Oh, but I talked with him, Madge. And she never said his name. Oh, took his man. I can strike his throat.
Why, fool, here shall be no strokes.
God willing, for the show of force against thieves. Keep you in your place, Watty. Thou art but a kitchen knave. Go to, go to.
And those but a priest. Nay, wait about. You'll never leave his man. I can strike stroke for Lady Madge.
Why, here's a hiss to be in harm's way. Well, Watty, see you these weapons? Tack them down the terrace there, and get you quietly to the stables for an ass to carry all. Bring my mare, a beast for Father Lewis. Aye, and another for yourself, go to.
Hey! But now you made it! And now this deal come! Will Fennel and watch! A red bull! A red bull! Hey! But now you
made it! Oh, the poor clown! He knows not what he does! You do ill to take him!
I'll tack anything with two legs this road. Come, Father.
Oh, will you not take leave of my lady?
Not I. She might yet change her mind and put my neck in a halter.
Nay, she has given her word. What manner of woman do you think her?
I know not yet, but for two things. She will aye have her way, and she is a right lewd lady.
Why, thou vile insolent...
Now, Father, the light is going and the wind rises. We have our gear and our charge. We must be in Triamen by day, good egg. Come.
Drop the blades well, Watty. Make all fast. Into the saddle, Father. Aye, 2 hours since you had no thought but supper and bed. And see you now, a proper night reaver. Set wide the barrican gate, Watty. Now, all three away on the Candlemas Road.
So we fared forth through the sleety rain, and I bitterly repenting my folly and wetter than any fish. A slow faring we made of it, through the misty woods and fields, and came to Triamen, as the day died. A poor place of mean cabins and 20 folk, a dozen being men, stout enough but dirty and ill-clad, and the rest women, as slatternly as ever I saw, and old folk, and a great swarm of bairns playing in the mire, and George Bell at their head.
Wait! You come from my lady! Oh, she has a good care of us, aye, a good lady, Lord! But, where are the troopers, Father?
No troopers, Master Bell. Only Master Noble here, a stout captain sent by my lady to arm and direct you so that the Nixons, seeing you ready to resist, will give back.
Give back? Nay, they'll take and burn all. No troopers, but my lady promised. Oh, my own, no wives and maids and all. And, who's this reevely fellow that we should heed him?
One that brings arms, a gift from my lady. See, the old breastplate fit for a chief. Who'll have it? And other good gear. Lances, swords, caps, bows. No small gifts, sister. Blades are 20 shillings and more. They're yours to keep, boys. Hey, we'll take a bow. And good shafts with dropped feathers. Aye, well, if there are no archers among you.
I can bend a bell gate if any.
Aye, wise lad. Sweet Spanish youth will lost a life.
Hold on. We can keep them, you say.
Why, aye, man. And every blade worth a year's rent go to.
Here, keys our breastplate. No, I see on here. Hey, mate, go in. Stop it over it, right. Three. Oh, the kind lady. I say, sweet lady, give me an answer, kiss, did you not, Father? Oh, did you, aye.
What's this, Vic? Oh, lads, for me. Get out of your
contrived to defend ourselves. You see, they struck like so many touchy tambourines. Oh, cunning.
I was trained for the priesthood, Father.
No, lads, build two great fires north of the village, that we may see them when they come.
But we're going to be because I'm sure if without fires they may lose their way in the muck.
The Nixons could find their way through the blackest deep of hell.
Good boys, take up the gear. Here, lad, let me see you knock your ball.
Will you? Aye. Will you make a bold frontier beyond the village? Why? Like you who have care of men's souls, I, who have care of their bodies, must wait and see. Each to his trade, Father.
Now, are you going with Master Bell to supper?
This putting off pleased me little, but indeed I was famished, so went in. The cabin was a stinking pit, with a fire on the floor, and more bairns crawling about than fleas, for they breed like rabbits, these folk. But they gave me good cheer, and a seat by the fire, which I was glad of, for I was starving cold. With the warmth and the fare, my fears somewhat diminished, so I looked forth again. It was deep, dark, and misty, save for the fires at the village end, and none to see save waitabout that stood solitary, watching. All being very still, and the fog on the fields like sea waves, and myself clammy and tired, I lay me down in the cabin, but was so sorrily bitten, and the stink so vile of the little bells, that I had but poor repose, and my sciatica no help. Yet I dreamed of Askerton ablaze, and my lady with a hawk on her wrist that flew screaming to a great chestain tree where a man hung. And again I felt that knowing that was between her and waitabout. And on one side she showed a sweet smile like an angel, and at the other a fell, cruel smile. And there were folk that pressed about her, blessing her name.
Father Lois! Father Lois!
What?
Oh, Father! What? Coming!
Oh, who is it?
Yes, Father. The Nixons is here. Oh, come to wait about.
Oh, where are they? Where are they? Wait, boy!
In such confusion, I knew not where I was, but stumbled out, sore lamed with the sciatica, and on to waitabout, who stood armed between the fires at the village end.
Dear Father, wish the sun. That is our sentry signal. Aye, Father, an embassy cometh from Scotland, but I doubt King Jamie sent it. Five riders now, God damn ill Will Nixon and the fingerless Will that got him. Brisk up the fires, what he boy.
Are they coming, indeed?
Oh, Saint Silas.
But where are the bells? Could he not summon them to make a show?
Ah, never fear. They'll come to my whistle. Peace now. Never a cheap man would look at my lady's face again. Back to that.
Have you waited? Drop the bell! Come off, your wife, and if you're dead, you're put up!
Now, Mary, and all the saints be with us. I'd rather have six Robsons or Grahams to be back than all the saints in your calendar. You've seen devils painted, Father. Now look to see them in the flesh. Never a sound. But lie close, watch, and remember.
I could not have moved or spoken for my terror, to see dark shapes in the mist that were of mounted men, swollen to giant size by some trick of the fire glow, that came slowly into clear view. And I was like to swoon, for never had I beheld night reavers, or the terror of them. Great goblins from the nethermost pit, in jacks of black leather and steel caps above, fell shapes without feature.
Bring out your blackmail, Jordy! Carry on me, you puttock, and you'll roast in your own fire! Hummy, Clem, Jock, tune with you. See the brands by the fire yonder, and we'll light the bastard a foot with his torch.
Are you cold, Jordy? Yes, to warm you, then?
You know, warm your woman for you.
Oh, two, now three. It will do.
Up, try them in! Build them in!
I heard the harping of strings and the swish of shafts, and waitabout was starting forth, sword in hand, and of a sudden there were triumphant men that leaped from cover with swords and lances and rushed upon the thieves.
Pull them down! Bring them on! Pick them up, foreman!
And now I saw such a sight as ever I saw of slaughter and horror among Christian men. It struck and cursed and all in disorder. What time steel clashed and rang on helm and jack. Amidst him I saw gored a great thrust of the belly with a lance, and another shot of arrows that fell down, yet a third bestrode him, laying about right handedly, roaring amain, till he was shot upon, two shafts, but still fought on his knees. Wait about I saw like a very devil with sword and dagger, and the loon wattle with a lance, crying out like one mad. I stood stricken, having looked to see some parley beforehand, and not this fray of ambush, and indeed I cried out,
"No! No! Spare them! Take them alive! Have mercy, O God! Wait about!
Stand clear, please!
And the Nixon came at me with an axe to dig me down. The boy, what he came between and was like to have taken the blow, but I gripped the Nixon who swashed me such a stroke on the arm that I fell swooning, wet with blood, my own and others. And everywhere, blood and screaming to heaven and vile cursing and worrying like hinds as they fought betwixt the fires of Triamain.
Brother Luke! Brother Luke, are you killed?
I think so, you're off!
No! No more! Bid them God, wait about me! Them!
Hold him first! No, you innocent slave! I'll kill him, black man! Hey! Steal me in my dirty goods! Hey! Blood and meat! Hey! Get him, Rego!
Open your eyes! Swing your bastard!
Wait about! Prevent them! Oh, man! They hang up another! No! Bind them! Take them to Carlisle for justice!
Lash them! You won't!
Water! Water! I yield! Black mail, Mimmy!
Such Mimmer! And the beard for me!
He was defeated to the dunghill we have. I up with him.
Up.
I don't do it. He first in the door.
And now, with the pain of my hurt, I swooned. And how long I lay, I know not, but coming to my senses, saw that which blasted my sight to see. The four corpses of the Nixon slain, hung by their feet in the one tree, and all headless. The fifth, that they called Hungry Jock Nixon, stood bound, and wait about bade him look well on the four that hung.
Tell Liddesdale.
Now, God's blight on thee, thou monster of hell.
Peace, father. I am making Triamain safe. Can you ride with bound hands, Jock lad?
Put the reins in my teeth.
They put him on a hobbler, and then came George Bell with a leather sack leaking blood. And well I knew what gear was therein, the heads of the men slain. Wait about made it fast to the saddle bow.
This for the widows and mothers of Liddesdale, from the Lady Margaret Dacre. Thus she pays her blackmail.
How is it with you, father?
Okay. So cut the arm at 12 men.
Oh, be still now. Oh, it was ill done. Wanton, bloody slaughter with their sins on their heads. Butchered without parley that might have been taken captive. Ye planned an ambush from the first.
There was no other way. Mind you saw these Nixons, what stark riders they were. The body was such as to submit and die. He must strike first, and unaware he strike not at all.
My lady badly protect her folk, not welter her village in blood.
Will you tell me, father, out of your vasty knowledge of water, how to do one without other? Nay, I teach not you how to play. Would you have had them spared? To ride on dry men another day and rob and murder?
Aye, spared, for their soul's sake. And the bells, and yours, oh, and mine, that ye may party to this slaughter.
Because you grappled a Nixon in the fray. It was bravely done. Saved the life of what he, must have him dead, rather.
Oh, I shall put away my anger. I shall bid ye seek God's pardon.
My confession, oh. What is confession but telling God what he knows already? If he marks the sparrow's fall, be sure he marks ill will going head first in that dunghill. So fret not for my soul.
I gave over in my distress, corporal and spiritual, and presently was aware of a comely brown girl of the bells that stood by the door and smiled on waitabout, who frowned and signed her away, and then bade me rest, and went out after her. I was come to such faintness that I could but lie there, half waking in my pain. And after a time came waitabout again, calling for George Bell.
Have a little swung between our beasts for Father Lewis. We must back to Askerton.
Aye.
And my lady shall know how stoutly the bells of Triamain have borne themselves this night.
You digger, a digger!
A red bell! A red bell!
So they clamoured about us, and the brown girl I had marked before stood by waitabout and held his hand, smiling wantonly, which grieved me sick to think what they had been at, and the blood not yet dry betwixt the fires of Triamain. So we came away, the wound in my arm throbbing a great pain, and my heart sick for the cruel horror I had witnessed. We fared wetly through the fields and ashwoods, and within a mile of Askerton met Yallow, the land sergeant's deputy, who, chancing by our house in the night, had learned from the bailiff of our folly to Triamain. And Lightfoot, the lawyer, waking at his books, had heard them and been in great alarm. Wherefore now all three came hasting out. Master Lightfoot aboard a mule, red-nosed and sore sneezing, the bailiff part drunk, and Yallow, black with anger, willing not to believe our news.
What? Wait a brute, a scabby rascal. Thou, and a pack of daft clowns, the bells, to pull down four stark Liddesdale men. Away thou rush, go to.
Right to try a man and see.
It is true, Master Deputy, alas. Four Nixons are dead.
Ah, by hell, what a stroke here. Forward these ill will and all. Hey, the way to boot. You hear, Master Lawyer?
I hear and must inquire. What, grievous hurts and slain on my lady's ground? Nay, if it comes to law, she must be cleared of all blame. Her innocence must appear that was no party thereto. Was she?
There was a bargain.
Oh, say you so. This must be looked to. Master, wait about a word in your ear, good fellow. Will you step aside with me?
So wait about got him down, and the lawyer, taking him familiarly by the arm, drew him aside in close talk, and very earnest with him.
The lawyer. Nay, Father, what import is this? Was any damage done to my lady's cattle and dykes and fences? I out at a cost. For I know the bells, they'll make a poon damage out of a broken pot and 60 a rent for it.
Ah, damn thy pots. I'm for trying, man. I'll believe this when I see it.
You don't want to believe it. You're jealous, man, because a poor broken man has fettled the Nixons. And you, if you'd had your wit, could have had the glory on't. You had your fortune and your hand together when my lady bent your ear. If you'd served her, I tell you, man, you'd have won her favour. And where might not that have taken thee, eh? Oh, Yara, what might have been. But you, your brains and your pistol.
What? Ye mock me, you fat slug. I will. Let him wait about look to himself. He'll get no thanks from the land sergeant or wardens, nor your fine lady nose in the air. Neither.
What a dumb Carton say.
So you see, fellow, my lady must stand clear of all blame, whatever. So we shall consider well to make all straight. Father Lewis, how's thy wound? Sore enough, I warrant, yet got through no fault of my lady's. No, but sore enough for all that. So, let us in, my masters, and you shall have content, noble, but leave all in my hands. Aye, all shall be
ready. So we came again to Askerton Hall as day broke. And my lady being still abed, Master Lightfoot said, let her sleep. He would give her news of our doings anon. We shed our sodden garments and wait about having looked to my wound, put me, sore and weary, to bed in the hall, in a nook by the fire. Wait about had a cut to his arm, and the boy Watty a sore gash to his leg, which wait about dressed while the bailiff brought in beef and a mess of eggs. But I had no stomach to it, but only a hot dram of posset.
Now, up to your bed, Watty, thou stark fighter, thou. Nay, bailiff, I'll take but a bite of my feet and a draught. Run for the road.
What, man? You never was as soon. You bite it easier at 12 months than you list. What? After the service you've done, my lady would wish to do thee service in return. It'd be a pound or two for the eye. Good money, man. Think on.
Nay, there was no talk of fee, and I'm not comfortable indoors for myself or others. Father Lewis here has had little comfort of me for one.
Nay, now you shall not haste away for me. If the service ye did was cruel and bloodier than need be, yet ye perilled your life and kept Triamond secure. I would not be the cause of your going off so poorly, I requite it. Besides, it was scant courtesy to my lady to be away without a word. Sure, she will wish to reward thee.
I dare you dwell overlong among peasants, father. Gentlefolk are not like them. Master Lightfoot has questioned me most jealously about the bargain with my lady and is eager to see me go, so that if mischief should arise from last night's doing, happily I'll carry it with me. The work's done, the peril's past, and they'll be glad to be shot.
Nay, you do my lady wrong. Does he not, bailiff?
Well, I know. Let him gang if he wills. I'll see to the horse.
I'll go take leave of Watty. That's one of good metal, father. Don't leave it stout beneath. Deserves well of you and me. I'll be back for your blessing presently. Please you to give it for my comfort and your own, perhaps.
So I lay alone by the fire, heavy at heart that he should go, who, being gone, would leave an emptiness behind. For all his faults and bloody dealings, this wait about was one such as we meet but rarely in this life, being uncorrupted in their hearts, so that at all trials and hazard there is but one word for them, and that word is true. And as I lay drowsing, I heard voices and feet that tarried on the stair.
You bound him only to defend your village.
I gave my word to answer for him.
Aye, but on a hand clasp only, not a proper bond, but only the custom of the country, which I think shall not hold at law. No blame lies against your grace for what...
Blame? How can blame lie on our side? These thieves came to assail and bleed my tenants. Shall I not defend mine own?
There you have it, lady. Defends the word. And this you set him to do, but not to murder right barbarously, which is what it might be called before the law. So you are clear, content you, since your bargain with him was not lawful in any case.
And yet I took his hat. Father Lewis, they told me you were hurt. I would not have had you take harm on my behalf for all the world.
Lie now still.
Master Lightfoot, he must have a surgeon from Carlisle.
Indeed, my lady, one shall be sent for. Is that man Noble gone yet?
Why, no, not yet.
Oh, but plague enough to know what keeps him. By your leave, my lady, you were best withdraw and see him not, for if you have speech with him now, why, it might be seen as approving his deeds. If it came to law, a shrewd advocate might talk of conspiracy between you. Let me, I shall make all straight. So here he comes. Pretty lady, mark him not, but leave all to me. Ah, good fellow. Good master, wait about, not away yet. Well, a word with you. Here, by the window. Tell me, are you a lettered man?
I can make shift to write in Cumbrian, but I can read Northumbrian, aye, and a little Scots, too.
A fanciful rogue, go to. Well, in English, then. 'Twere best you were gone right speedily for convenience.
Since if any charge or claim should arise from this sorry affair, my lady could hardly maintain you at law, however much she might wish to do so, you having done such slaughter as she could not have foreseen, nor can countenance now. Aye, and her bargain with you be not written nor properly lawful in any case, but let that be, it skills not. For sure, if you are gone, why, there shall be none here to answer any charge. So, all's well. And here is a paper you may present to Master Lowther, a lawyer at Penrith, who will give you that shall ease your passage away. Go to. In good coin, man. What, eh?
What said I, Father? I've served me turn, and Askerton would fain see the back of me. But I need no fear or persuasion, Master Lawyer. Our bargain was that I should serve and her ladyship maintain. But if she cannot, or will not, no matter. I need no maintenance. I ask only one small thing.
And what is that, sirrah?
Not this lawyer's paper, lady. Nay, but a trifle. Of no sterling value, but counted high in the custom of the country. A word of thanks. Nay, 'tis little enough to ask, surely. What? For your village secured, and four great Scotch rogues laid stark, two slash-like mincemeat, one gutted and crucified, one drowned in a dunghill, and their four heads sent to Liddesdale in a bag.
I ask not that, you brutal beast. Will you flaunt your barbarism at me that never looked for it?
Do me right, lady. Did you think I went to play patter cake with him? I served as best I knew. Aye, and better than you know, for I've made your land safe for 10 years hence. Even now, Liddesdale looks on those four heads and whispers, Christ Saviour, what a woman is this? Oh, they'll ride wider you hereafter. If I did wrong, why, the benefit is yours. You have your safety with a clean conscience.
You read my conscience to me. Oh, bloody reaver, I'm to thank you for your beastly slaughter.
Aye, 'tis a hard lesson to learn how peace and safety are secured. Tell truth, lady. Would you wish Ilwill's head back on his shoulders?
Oh, insolent malapertine! Do you dare beard my lady with your foulness? With such scandalous familiarity and loathly talk of bleeding and gutting like thou common...
Peaceful! If you could state a case as plainly as doth he, you'd have had a woolsack to your ass long since. And you, Sivir, you read me a lesson, do you? You think no small beer of your oratory. Well, I'll not humour you with debate, but say only this. For the slaughter you made, let your own conscience answer. But for making my folks safe and serving me bravely, I thank you with all my heart.
No, God thank you, lady. That was courteously said. More than my ill manners deserved. Let me make amends by telling you that Master Lightfoot talks lawyer's moonshine when he babbles of charges and complaints for what I did at Tryermaine. You need fear no action at law. Why, blackmail reavers cry for redress. No, lady, tis not their way. Even Ilwill would laugh if he still had chops to grin withal.
But if there's no fear of the law, why must you haste away?
Why, for me skin's sake. Hungry Jock will have my head on his point if it takes him 20 years. Oh, they will not ride against Askerton. First, for fear of your ladyship, who has great riches and power to levy arms. And secondly, because it was I alone that was red-handed in the deed. Me they must have, for their honour's sake, and for the four empty saddles. They call it feud, lady. So must I be gone from this frontier right soon and forever.
Did you say you need not my maintenance? God's wounds, I never saw one that needed it more. And thou, Lightfoot! Thou gabardine canker, quibbled and twisted me with your words whether I should answer for him at law, and never a word that his life lay in the hazard, thou prating beast, thou. And would have had me break faith, thou clementine mouldy gargoyle. Shall I not stand by him that stood by me?
Now there spoke Dacre, there bellowed the Red Bull. Nay, lady, there is no need. I am weary of the border and glad to go.
Say you so. And how if it be my good pleasure to secure you here, I, against all comers?
Nay, lady, then the feud would encompass you also. I am not worth a border war.
What you are worth is for me to judge. How if I made you my constable, to raise and lead me troops sufficient to any peril from Scotland? Sure, if you can make these Nixons hop headless, you can do the like for all the border. Given the power and the arms and the gold, of which I have enough, God knoweth.
Well, Master Noble, how if I offer you this?
By God, lady, do this and you throw down a glove that Liddesdale shall snatch up. You will straightway lose the border.
Do I care? So I keep my word to my liking. I am Dacre. So, Master Noble, here is my hand. How if I offer you this? And more besides.
And now she smiled indeed, right pridefully. And in that moment there was again that knowing between them. And I knew, and Waitabout knew, I and even Master Lightfoot knew, that here she made offer not only of place and fortune, but of her own self. Why she, the great lady, should fix on the broken man, I know not, though indeed he was stalwart and comely enough, and she of wilful humour. Myself was spellbound, looking to see him take the fair hand held out in such sure, proud confidence.
To be my lady's constable and mine were great honour, and so I thank you. But it may not be.
Wherefore?
I would give no offence to such a fair offering, but there is a chestnut tree beyond the barnikin that casts a long shadow.
You have leave to go.
Your blessing must wait for another day, Father, for I've tarried over long. God keep you. Mend your heart that was bravely got. We'll make a reaver of you yet. Fare ye well. Bid the bailiff put bread and cheese in the kitchen window for a merry remembrance. Though I come not for it, another may.
Now, being dejected and failing of sleep for the soreness of my wound, I got me to prayer, being troubled both for Waitabout that had gone I knew not whither, and for my lady, whose pride had taken such a dour dint as she had not known in her small score of years. After an hour came the bailiff, full of wonder and scandal, at Waitabout's refusing her offer of service.
I knew for the first she had a fancy to that broken booker for all her years. Aye, a right wanton fancy. She'd have put him to the gallows one day and to bed the next. Nay, for the lad's best away. Silk lies not well against sacking. Months hence she'd have been like a Puritan. Off and on and off, that's the way of the gay lady.
I tell me for a rank tattler. It'll be the talk of the palace by supper time, alas, the poor lady. How does she?
She's ridden the ward, it's high, mate. We are right feathery face on her eye. Fearing that maid. With blankets and goodies with them snivelling bells. Aye, and telling me I should have seen her there once long since and mistaught me sleuth to guts. Oh, save us, what now? A harpy and a fiction and a bitch, that she is. Our service best I know, do I not, fella?
Is my lady within? Or was the night for?
I know now.
Where is that varlet noble?
I know not and care less.
Ah, you'll care enough presently, you and my lady and that sweet ferret lawyer, for I'll have him, Robin Hodgson. By God, I will.
Master Cotter, what means
it? It means, Master Lightfoot, that I will apprehend one noble, a broken man, lately in the employ of my lady Dacre.
Nay, sir, never in her employ. There was no lawful contract, nor no blame to my lady if this waiter might have done harm.
You know not what harm is. Yet. Yarrow, for the hands of the storm that's set with this fellow lay, so we shall have his scent.
Dog in her ladyship's shit. Master Lamp, Sergeant, you exceed your office.
Oh! My lady yesterday and you today will teach me mine office. Shall I call Hop Trod? For that, you know, shall compel any man to come with me on the pursuit. How long since you last rode 30 miles at a gallop, Master Lawyer?
Nay, Tom, man, you took a trod for one poor fellow that served a lynch.
One poor fellow that hath hamstrung me 4 Nixons and a border like to burn for it. For here was a peaceful march, a quiet charge. Give a bit, take a bit. And in 1 hour, the policy of months is undone by a chit of a girl that hath not been in the country long enough to fill the Jordan. A masterless knave that should have been crow-bait lying sight and shall be by this hand is set on by this madcap female over a nothing matter and by her license butchers me 4 the first men of Liddesdale. Men of name cut up like buttered toast at the snap of my lady's dainty fingers, God save her.
Not by her license, never.
And their heads sent to the king's folk. that can have 3,000 lances in the saddle in an hour, and south of the frontier in two.
So we are assured that they will fear to ride on us after the rough handling that they had of Tyrone.
My God, priest, you read them like a reaver. Die like a nothing like Haskell would be. And if they rode Red Ruin elsewhere in England, would it content my lady that they left Ascoton alone? Christ, Wales! I'll content you. I have mended the mischief. There shall be no riding against England. I have sent messages to the Scotch wardens beseeching them to hold the reins. Aye, and a whisper to hungry Jock Nixon's ear that shall content him. You may advise your mistress, Master Langfoot, that I have been at pains to patch up her folly and have it all stitched but the last knot, which is called noble.
Langfoot, the smoke of the Black Lake!
He's into the net! We have him fast! Cairn's men will run him down. Now, Yarrow, south for the Hotspur, and when he's taken, see to him yourself and send the token to Lister. Away!
Done!
So, my masters, in an hour, all shall be mended. Oh, content your Master Lightfoot. My lady will be at no discomfort, sir.
She stands clear of all blame, for she had no proper bargain with this wait about. I have in mind precedence.
Precedence? I like the word. My lady is well served at law, Master Lightfoot. Masters, I'm for Carlisle. Health to you all, and a carry day.
Master Carlton! Master Carlton!
Master Carlton! Whatever Master Lightfoot says of the law, my lady bound herself but an hour since to answer any charge against Waiterbath. If Yarrow brings him in, it may be an ill service to her.
No men to that. Yarrow will not bring him in. Never fear, Father. Your long reaver will not trouble the border again.
You mean Yarrow has gone to kill him? To send his head as a sop to Liddesdale? It is murder. You shall not do
it. What have I to do with murder? I shall not even see her.
You...
No, I'm quiet, Father. You howl at my lug to no purpose. You're not ignorant of this border. You know right well that whatever shifts I must be at to smooth this business, one thing skills over all. Ill will, Nixon, must be paid for. And in one coin only. Thinkst thou his folk would be content with less, or that I'll grudge him with the peace of the border?
You cannot slay him without jury or priest. He served my lady for his life. And if he did more than she knew, yet she would maintain him if she were here. Wait for her. If he must answer that law, let her speak to his guilt or innocence.
Law? Guilt? Innocence? Oh, sir. I have a frontier to keep.
Murderer! Murderer!
You're a decent father. The folk are looking at you. Come in the house, man.
Time will not mend long arches back.
I'm sorry for the lad, and yet tis none so hard, sister. And he'll get no more than he gives the Nixon. What man is the border? Ding up, ding, dun, knocks go both ways.
Master Hudson! Master Hudson! To send the landslide to St. Yarrow to kill the Waiterbout. To tuck his ear for the bloody Nixon.
Get on there, man, you don't tell me. Don't tell me.
No, you see. My God, I saw they, you know. I love that dumb clown's blood for it, and that gallows and all. Give me that fire iron. Out my way, Bayless. Let him touch the Waiterbout, and I'll fill them if I don't.
You don't get that truck.
Be the king. See my palfrey well stabled.
Don't put down that iron, boy. The fire's not an ass to be beaten. Father Lewis, why are you not in bed, you willful man? Was that Master Carlton I saw ride away as I came in? He comes late in the day. Susan, bring me some wine and water.
Oh, my lady, lady. They said you saw the big river. The Waiterbout. Oh, my lady.
Get up, fool, and keep your muddy paws from my boots.
Dear lady, in God's name, hear me.
I'll hear you when you're clean and in your senses. Now be off, I say. Must I be silent? Now get you gone and... My boy, are you bleeding? What's this? Answer, dolt.
It is well, lady. I took a wound at Triumph.
Triumph? Thou? God's sake, sit you down, fool. Show me your hurt. Susan, fetch hot water and clean cloth. Be quiet, boy. It shall be seen to.
Dear Lady March, it's well enough. But wait a moment.
Lady March, who calls me that?
Why, lift up your face, boy, for foul though it is, I know it surely. Who? Hobby? Gibby? Nay, I have it. Watty, thou art Watty, boy, with a pony. Aye, pony Daisy when I was little. You mind the sugar plums when I fell in the back? And what was the cordial called?
Dandelion, and to please you, my lady.
Dandelion. Well, you shall have stronger liquor now, Watty. Why, art a man grown, and a fighter that took a wound in my service. Susan, bind his wound, and give him a posset, and set him on the couch yonder. Nay, not another word, Watty. Drink, and lie thou there. You seem somewhat feverish.
My lady, it is not his hurt that troubles him.
Back to your chair, Sir Priest. You look not well. Nay, our hall's no better than a hospital. And you, bailiff, I have been to Tryermaine and seen what care you have of my people. They live in styes, and if there's a blanket in the place or a rag to sleep the bairns, I am a right goose, and that I'll not have on land of mine, so see to it, and soon. About it, man! Go, shuffle, skip!
My lady, please, will you hear me a moment? Truly, it will not wait.
Oh, Susan. This wine, is it from the great cask or the small? Methinks it is something sharp. Ah, Master Lightfoot, here to me. I would have you send word to Lord Scroope, the warden, bidding him to dinner tomorrow. Aye, and you may be the honest knight Carlton also. We must find out how the world waggeth hereabouts, and take their advice how I shall find me a stout captain to raise me a troop of horse for our defence. Oh, and Susan, send to Carlisle for some cleanly maids, if they have any. Keep those tallow urchins in the scullery. Sure, we are busy enough. Fill my cup, Susan. Well, Father Lewis, what is it? What is it that will not wait?
What the boy Watty told you is true. The man weighs about is in peril of his life.
Well, is that your news? Well, when was he not, from what I've seen of him? Master Lightfoot.
This is instant peril, lady. The land sergeant's men are gone to take and slay him for what he did at Tryermaine. And this to satisfy the Liddesdale robbers and keep them at peace. They will send his head to the Nixons.
Master Lightfoot, in bidding the warden and the land sergeant to dine, make no mention of their lady. Though we shall have them here anon and be merry enough, but not until I know my way with the men. So, Father, they will throw weight about to the wolves. It's a pretty country. Well, why? What ails you, man? What would you have me do?
Send after them, my lady. Bid them deliver the weight about to you. They will not dare deny you. Save him, lady. It is but a few leagues. Your page Peterkin can ride.
Leagues? Well, then he is beyond my charge. Sit down, Father. You are not well.
God's name, lady. It is no matter of charges. He took your hand and served you, and you swore to maintain him. And in all conscience, lady, this is the time, and his life hangs on it.
Read not my conscience to me, priest, for that was done this day by one that knows this world better than you. He served me, aye, and God knows I would have served him, but he willed it not. Mark that, priest. He willed it not. So let him look to himself, for he is not in my charge.
Lady, I beseech you, do not forsake him. Oh, for your own sake, lest ye repent it most bitterly hereafter.
Not a whit. Susan, take away my cup.
God forgive you. You hardened your heart out of pride. Aye, pride that he wounded.
Nay, little priest, you do me wrong. I do but follow the custom of the country, of which so many have been busy to instruct me. On this frontier, we must all shift as best we can, and each mind what is in his own charge. Yours, I think, should be elsewhere, since this rough country likes you not. We shall find some nook or almshouse in the quiet south. For myself, I am like to stay a while, for I am bred of this border.
And that, as God sees me, was as true a word as ever she spake.
Now, Watty boy, how is it with you? When you are mended, you shall show me again the beck where I fell in, and you brought me home all wet and forlorn to the sugar plums and the dandelion drink. But we'll let the minnows alone this time, for I've no mind to go ducking these days. For Charlie shall have a new bonnet, and Charlie shall go to the fair. Charlie shall have a new ribbon.
Thus she left us, he on his couch and myself by the fire. And I heard her sing Hey Derry Derry and call for her maid. as she ran up the stair.
In The Candlemas Road, Fray Louise was played by Lawrence Payne, Lady Margaret Dacre by Ruth Gemmell, and Archie Noble by Bill Reitman. Watty was played by William Leslie, Hodgson by Crawford Logan, Carlton by Sandy Nielsen, Yarrow by Andrew Curry, Lightfoot by John Shedden, George Bell by Michael McKenzie, Ralph Dacre by John Yule, Maul Beatty by Natalie Lyon, and Lady Margaret as a Child by Margot Clare. Other parts were played by Mari Gillespie and Rebecca Hawking, and members of the cast. The Candlemas Road was dramatised from his novel of the same name by George MacDonald Fraser, and directed in our Edinburgh studios by Patrick Rayner.